promise of God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I was preaching in a place one time a few years ago among our people, and you know they were sort of on the absolute side of it, even though they called themselves Old Lion. And I talked about rewards, and I just about got none out of country. They said, "Preacher, we don't believe in rewards." How are they going to get around that verse of Scripture? That he is a rewarder of them, talking about individuals, that what? That diligently seek him. You can call it blessings if you want. It's the same thing. But I believe in rewards. While you leave here in this world, I don't believe that eternal heaven is a reward. But I do believe it's an inheritance. And you will enjoy eternal heaven because of what? You are an heir, a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir with Christ. Oh, yes. Peter said in his writings, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, I believe he said, has begotten us again unto a what? A lively hope." Why Peter ever said that? Because Peter saw Jesus Christ die on the cross. But when he realized he'd come forth from the grave, brother, now a lively hope. He said, "Has begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To an inheritance. Inheritance. Incorruptible. And the God that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven. For who? You who are kept by the power of God. Oh, yes. We have an inheritance. But I must stay on my Sunday. I want to talk about charity a little bit. We conclude the 12th chapter, and Paul is saying here in the 28th verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, God has sent some in the church, first apostles. He's talking about gifts. He mentions several gifts here. He says, first apostles. And then he talks about prophets, and he talks about teachers, and he talks about, after that, miracles, he says. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, divers setters of tongues. He mentions several gifts here, which are wonderful gifts. Notice what he says. Verse 29, he raises questions. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Now that word "no" is not here. I'm just answering these questions. We know that. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? The answer to all these questions is no. But yet these gifts were in the church. Wonderful gifts, but notice what he says in verse 31. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. He's telling us to do something. You notice? And yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. A more of the church. Every child of God should have this gift. And if we don't have it, we're in bad shape. The greatest gift of all. Oh, he told us now about it, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is what? Charity. Love in action. The youngest member of the church can have this gift. Maybe been baptized last Sunday. You can have this gift. The oldest member of the church can have this gift and should have it. Every member should have it. Not just a preacher. When you go back in your experience, in your mind, and you remember it, if you can remember, some of you have been brought up in the old Baptist church from the very days of youth. What a blessing that is, it must be. But some of us can go back and we can remember when we visited the old Baptist church. Really, when I came to the old Baptist church, I came as a spy. I came like the Queen of Sheba when she came to Solomon. She came with hard questions. She came to observe. She came to look. Oh, she was pleased with what she saw. Her questions were answered in all of this. But I came as a spy. I came as a critic. I named the list of churches on a piece of paper. I said, I will visit all of these. I'd come to the knowledge and understanding that the scriptures taught that Jesus Christ set up a church. I set out to find him, and I made a list of different orders of people. I did not put Primitive Baptists on that list. But I'd already formed an opinion in my mind at that time that it certainly will not be Primitive Baptists. No use putting them on that. Oh, how amazing things develop when God leads us along the way. When I found it, that's where it was. Primitive Baptist. But I came as a spy, I came as a critic. But you know, the preacher, the first preacher I ever heard among Primitive Baptists that had a message for me. Now, I'd heard others preach, but they didn't preach to me. First one I ever heard, and he touched my heart. Well, first was Elder Bradley on radio. I'm talking about in person, in worship service. But ever since we've done it, made me joyous. Elder Bradley announced one night as we were listening on radio and his broadcast that Elder Cecil Darty from Macon, Georgia would fill an appointment in Cincinnati this coming Thursday night. We made plans to go. I've never seen Elder Darty. I've never met Elder Bradley. Heard him on radio. Thought he was an old man, you know. Most people did. But nevertheless, when I got there and we went in, we got there, it seemed like about the time the song service started, we went in and sat down, you know, we was kind of afraid, going in a new place, a strange place, not really knowing what was going to happen. Not knowing anybody there, but a couple of them greeted us at the door. We sat down after the song service. Two men get up. We didn't know who they were, but one of them was Elder Bradley, the pastor, and the other was Elder Darty. They went into the pulpit. Never seen them before. Never heard Elder Darty speaking anyway. Elder Bradley made a few comments and called on someone to offer prayer, and then Elder Darty stood and took his text, and he began to preach. How a demonstration of the Spirit of God. I punched my wife in the ribs and I said, somebody been telling that man about us. She said, who could it be? Wasn't nobody on this earth. But he was told, my friend. He was told. The God of heaven told him. And that's how God works. God knows the needs of his people. You say, how in the world can you come from Alabama to North Carolina and preach to people that you've never seen before? How do you know what they mean? I don't. I leave it in the hands of Almighty God. I even do that with my home congregation because he knows more about them than I do. Oh, when that man preached and he pointed out our experience day after day, and that's why I said somebody's been telling him about us. Never seen him before. But the point I want to get out from this, we thought we'd just slip away, you know, and get out of there, and nobody would ever know we were there, but it didn't happen that way. They knew we were there. They began to come around and shake hands and introduce themselves. And even embrace us and tell us how they appreciate us coming. And that love, you could just feel it flowing from breast to breast. I'm telling you, my friend, that was a drawing for it. I enjoyed Elder Darty's preaching, enjoyed to the degree that I understood a lot of it. But the love was something that stood out more than anything else about that service and a lot of others that I visited in a few times that we went there before we got to going on a regular basis. Here it is, charity. If you don't have it, you know what Paul said about it? Listen what Paul said about it as we read just a few verses. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men, though I could speak with several different languages, and though I'd do it in a way that would be very accurate, I would pronounce the words correctly and all this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men, but he didn't stop there, and of angels. You think about one speaking with the tongue of an angel and have not charity. He said, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Paul said, even though I could do this, speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, all I'm doing, he said, is making a lot of racket. That's what he says. Can you see how important charity is? He doesn't stop there. He says, and though I, notice he's using first person. He didn't say, though you, he said, though I, first person, himself, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mystery, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains. You think about what he said here. If one would be blessed to possess all of these gifts. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains. You think, boy, Paul, you got all you need. This is what he said. I can have all of that, and have not charity. I am nothing. That's what he says. I am nothing. That's how important charity is. Love in action. I am nothing. He says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Notice that. Though I give all my good, everything that I have, I give it to feed the poor. And though I even give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. No profit in it, folks. If we're trying to do this without charity, Paul's telling us what we are. We're nothing, and there's no profit in it. That's serious business, isn't it? Yes, it is. Then he goes into a few verses, he describes charity. He says, charity suffers long. Charity is kind. Charity endeth not. Charity findeth not itself. It's not puffed up. I remember one time serving the church in Kentucky. Sister kind of got upset with me and my family. Well, she wasn't the only one. But anyway, some folks were upset with me. Really, it was over nothing. I won't get into the depth of what it was. But you know, sometimes little things can be misunderstood. Instead of people coming to you trying to get the thing straight, they just go with it and they just make a mess out of it. And that's about what happened. But anyway, one Sunday I preached there in a Louisville, Kentucky church. I pastored for about 9 years. And I walked outside and this pretty little sister walked up to me. And boy, she was just moving in a fast pace, you know. She looked me right in the face. Brother Stump, do you know that your wife did not even speak to me today? I said, you're kidding. Well, I'm disappointed, Sister Stump, that she didn't speak to you, sister. I said, by the way, did you speak to her? No! She was never there to do that. Aren't we that way, a lot of times? Well, they didn't speak to me, but I'm not going to make no effort to speak to them. And a lot of times there's not even no intention of hurting your feelings or bypassing it. It's just something that's done. But anyway, I give you that for free. It's saying, charity suffers long. Charity is kind. Love in action. Charity endeth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, but not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Now, I didn't say it never was provoked, but said not easily. You know, we're going to get mad from time to time. But what does he tell us? He said, be angry and sin not. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it doesn't mean you won't ever get mad. They tell you what to do when you do. Oh, he's talking about this, and he says, charity thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I tell you, it takes charity to serve God's people. And I don't say that, folks, to be hard on you, but as being a pastor for 25 years, it takes a lot of charity to get along with some folks. Because some folks, you know, they're not too active in church, and they don't participate in church like they do, but you just let the preacher make a little boo-boo. Maybe don't show up to visit them when he should, or do this or that or the other, or maybe be out of town when something happened when he should have been sitting on their doorstep, and they're going to let you know about the hurt. And it takes charity to deal with that kind of stuff. It does. It takes God's grace. I have them at home. I don't mean to be critical of them. God bless their soul. But they keep a record of my visits to the home. This is some charity. I go there and they say, why didn't you go ahead of pastor? What do you mean, sister? You haven't been here so long. That's why I got a lot of folks to see. And you know, you have 140-something members, and then they have 10 folks, and then people come into Birmingham out of other places, or, you know, across the country for surgery. They know you're an old Baptist, and they're an old Baptist, and they call you, and you try to visit with them. You know, there's a lot of visits. You can't get around with these folks every week. I said, well, when was I here last? Well, I don't know just exactly, but let me get my book. And I tell you, they keep a record of this, Brother Spears. They got it down there. But this one precious sister, you know, ministers, most of us, I guess, keep kind of a record of her knowledge and this and that and the other. And And I kind of keep a record too, you know. And so she was getting on me one day, and I said, "Sister, you must have missed a visit somewhere, because I've been here since then." "I know you have not." And she went and got a book. She told me when I'd been there. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. When I get home, I'll check my book. And I'll see when I have the record I was here last." And I got home, and sure enough, she had missed it. Well, I could have rubbed that in, but I didn't. I just called her up, and I said, "Sister, it hasn't been as long as you think. The point is, we all need charity. To live with one another. Love in action. You know, it's so important. And Paul said, if you don't have it, you don't have anything. You're nothing. I know I'm fudging. Give me just another moment or two. He says here, charity, verse 8, listen. Charity never fails. Everything else, he says, is going to fail. All these other things he mentioned there don't mean anything. If you don't have charity, charity never fails. He said, but for the there be prophecy, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then he goes into that part where it says we know in part and we prophesy in part and so forth and so on. I've seen brethren that possess such great knowledge of the scriptures down through the years, and they come to the place where they get a disease called what, Alzheimer's or something of that nature. And they get to where they don't know their wife. They don't know their children. All of that knowledge is great. So, God's word is true. Those things happen. But charity never fails. I remember we had a brother in that condition, a member of our church, and the last words he ever spoke that his precious wife could ever remember. I was standing by his bed one night, and I said to him, I said, "Brother, would you like for us to have prayer before we leave?" He hadn't spoken in a long time. He opened his eyes and he said, "I sure do." We had prayer with him, and Lord, anyone knows he never spoke after that. But just the tone of his voice, you can feel that charity, that love that he still had for God's people. Paul says, and I must go back to this lesson in 1 Thessalonians for just a second. He says in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word." As I said last night, it must come in word. He said it came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. I've preached for all the years that I've been trying to preach that we as ministers of God are to set examples for our flock to follow. And Brother Hooven, I believe. I believe that this book teaches we must have a good report within and without. Not only old Baptists are supposed to speak well about me, but other people also that know me. They might say, "I don't understand what he preaches, but I know his life. His open book. He lives a godly and righteous life here in the world." Had an elder come to that stadium one time, and he stood in the pulpit, and he told the congregation that I pastor, and he said, "Listen, don't you do as I do, but you do as I say." You know what he was telling them in so many words? "I don't practice what I preach." That's what he was saying. We better practice what we preach, brothers and sisters. And so he began to tell them about what manner of men they were among them. And that's true, we should. I talked to that fellow after that. I said, "Don't ever say that here again. Well, I believe we ought to set the example." And this is why I tell God's people, you follow us as long as we follow God. That's what Paul teaches in this lesson. Notice he says in verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples," which means examples, as you all know, "so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." This was a wonderful church. He said, "We remember what? Your work of faith, your labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." If you come to the best days, and I hope you could go away and say what the Apostle Paul We remember that, don't you? I can say that about you, I believe. He says for you, for they themselves shewed of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Listen now, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He said, you turned from idols to serve the true in the living God. Most time we as God's children think that an idol is a statue of gold or silver or something that we bow down to. But let me share something. You know you yourself can become an idol. If you start praising yourself, worshiping yourself, that's an idol in your life. Your own self. You know your wife, brother, could be your idol. Wife, do you know your husband could become your idol? Do you know your children could become your idol? Do you know your home could become your idol? Do you know your automobile could become your idol? Do you know your bank account could become your idol? On and on I could go. Anything that gets between us and God and disturbs and disrupts our service to Him becomes idols. Remember that. Maybe we got some idols we need to turn from. Turn to the truth and the living God. May God bless us to hear His word. May it come in word, and not in word only, but also in power. In power to where we'll see the effect of the preaching of the cross. For God's children stir to activity, and where we will feel that love that flows from breast to breast. Christ said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one. Two. Also, without charity, none of us are going to
read one little part of the third chapter of Revelations. He said something about us being on fire. Some of us might not like it. He says here to the church of Laodicea, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We need to be on fire. We need to be serving the Lord. We need to be having a desire to be in meetings just like we've been in the last couple of 3 nights. And it's not a burden to me to come to church. It's a blessing that I have to be able to be in the house of God. And we're happy to have had Brother Ernest here tonight. We hope it will be his last visit. We do trust and pray that he'll be with you all the property of the rest of the weekend. Brother Hoover and I have responsibilities down at Pleasant Hill. But we do appreciate him being here amongst us. We want to stand and publish an open door for reception of members in any way the gospel authorizes us to receive them into the church, give you opportunity to make any statements you'd like to Brother Ernie, and shake hands with one another. We're just saying 161 as much as is needed, and then after we finish with the hymn and opportunity, and we'll ask Brother Nicholas for benediction. And all the others, if you will, come around and stand.
How often
you
57. Oh, the sweet old gospel story, how we cheer.
Afraid to go and bravely take my stand. We The souls of those perishing farewell, the Lord shall soon require. Thy riches which are stored above shall never there expire. Behold and see how lilies grow, they do not toil nor weep, yet kings in all their royal dress are not arrayed like these. Fear not, little flock, fear not, thy
somebody else is slain. Did you have one you're about to call my father? I said, I can't. 324.
And then 487.
324 and then 487.
I sat by my Savior and looked on his face. 'Twas full of his glory and shining with grace. His smile was endearing, his touch so divine, his presence most cheering, this Savior of mine. I could not believe it, that one such as I could sit down with Jesus in glory on high. The poorest of mortals, I fell on that hour, yet reached with my Savior, endeared with his power. Oh, wonderful story! Oh, could I still dream and rest with my Savior by life's flowing streams?
487.
I looked up one kiss of the morning, the peaceful beauty of the day. I loved to go there to my bower and humbly bow my head and pray. Oh, may his grace
me see.
3:26.
3:26, and then the one what was back there?
16.
3:26 and 16. First, second, and last of 3:26.
Tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have lost all their sweetness to me.
Was it 16?